Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to this episode of Hustle and Pro. I'm your host, Kelly Walker. We're expanding beyond Frisco today, actually way beyond. Joining us from France is Lucas Caneda. Welcome to Hustle and Pro, Lucas.
Hello, Kelly. Thank you for having me at your show. I'm pretty excited.
Me too. This will be fun. I usually talk to athletes and coaches here in the Frisco, Texas area, which we're a Dallas suburb, and so it'll be great to hear a different voice today. So I mentioned that you're talking to us from France, but you're actually from Argentina. So tell us a little bit about the move from Argentina to France and how sports was a factor in that.
Sure. I mean, I was born and raised in Argentina, so I lived there since I was born till I was about 25, and 5 or 6 years ago, I've actually moved to France to fulfill my dream that was becoming a professional rugby player. Back home, there were no professional clubs. So I pretty knew in my mind that if I wanted to follow my dream, I had to move eventually. So for me, in that case, since I was doing what I loved, I was following my passion. It was pretty easy, I would say, even though moving into a whole new country, whole different system and everything. It's never easy, right? But saving distances, it was pretty much what I've always wanted. So that made things easier. It made the decision a lot easier.
Because you had a goal, a dream in mind. So
of course, I had an objective. That makes everything a lot.
Were you playing rugby as a kid? You started playing as a kid?
Yeah, I started when I was 5 or 6. My mom actually took me to play rugby. We had nothing to do with rugby, but she thought it was a nice idea, and I thank her for that.
So then, okay, this is probably obvious, and you probably hate this question, but, you know, I'm here in Texas, and so when I think of Argentina, I would assume that everything is just dominated by football or soccer. So did you also play that sport, and why rugby instead?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that question at all. Quite the opposite. I do love soccer. I played it. I played it pretty good too. In fact, 1 year when I was young, I was around 10 or 11, I decided to play soccer instead of rugby. I went to one of the best clubs in Argentina and spent the whole year there, but the atmosphere was not exactly the same. It just didn't have so much fun. I spent 1 year at a club playing with 60, 70 different people, mm-hmm. made no friends. I was 10 to 11 years old. I mean, that's not why you go. When you're a kid, you want to have fun. You want to play some ball. You want to, you know.
Is that because the culture of football in Argentina was so serious and it was just such a popular sport that they were training so young? Do you feel like that's what it was?
Yeah, I think it's a lot about that, but especially, and I hate to say it because it's my country, you know, and I love it. But the situation, the economical situation is not very good. So some people actually see soccer as an escape, economic escape for their families. So they push their kids so hard. And I remember the day I came in, I was a kid. I came into the changing room for the first time ever. And I met, I don't know, 60, 70 different people that they watched at me and they were just like looking at me. Nobody even said a word. Until around 30 seconds went by and one of the kids stood up, came to me, looked at me straight into the face and he said, "What position do you play?" just like that, not even high, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, I play 7-9, I like to score. Say, you should watch out because he points one of the other guys. He's our 9. It's like, okay.
Like, don't come in our territory and try to mix in with us. Well, okay, then that's probably you got the opposite out of rugby then. And I've read that you talk about rugby players and the rugby family feeling. So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's the whole opposite. What you learn since you're a little kid when you're playing rugby is that rugby is for friends. Rugby is for, you know, passion. Of course, you're a competitor. You like to win, but it's always about friendship. It's always about being humble. It's always about values. And you learn those values through a sport. But it's actually a lot more than just playing a game. It's becoming a better person, understanding that you need to put effort into to get better, understanding that there's times where you will fail, times that you will suffer in terms of physical suffer. I mean, because you will get tackled, you will get hit, you will get very strong fitness sessions that you will. I mean, who enjoys being so tired at the end of a session that they don't want to come back? I mean, but that happens, and it's the only way to get better. It's right. The only way to keep progressing. And this sport is actually, its bases are all there. It's not just becoming, a professional athlete. That was my goal, but I have 99% of people that I know back home that they just play for fun. They just play because it's the sport, and it becomes your home, right? Your club becomes your home. You don't just go from one club to the other when you're in Argentina. You just stay at your club and you love your club. That's what's so important. And my friends, I mean, my real friends, they're all from rugby, and I've played with them for countless years, and I'll keep them forever.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a loyalty when you talk about, you know, you stay with your club, and I would expect with that sport, there's a vulnerability because you're relying on each other. It's so physical, and you're not padded up like in American football, and these other things are hidden behind helmets, right? So like you're physically lifting each other, you know, to greatness and to be better together as a team. You can't do it without your teammates.
Of course. I mean, you need to be playing together. It's the only way to succeed. And you learn that pretty quickly. There's never a team that gets with individualities. You never get too far. And that's the beauty about the sport, is that you need to be playing together. You need to be working together, suffering together in order to get better. And one of the things I usually speak about from rugby, that it's one a unique, I would say, aspect of the game, is that everyone can play. You're small, you're big, you're thin, you're fat, you're quick, you're slow. There's always a position for you at the team. And of course, you need to train, you need to get better at what you do, but there's always a task for you. There's always something you need to be doing. And that's something you don't find at any other sport. That's one of the things I love. So anyone can play rugby.
I've read that they are having the Rugby World Cup 2023 in France.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, it's pretty soon, right? Time flies. Yeah, it's just the next 2 years. There's actually a lot of work going on to get prepared. So pretty exciting.
So what is that level, when we're talking about the Rugby World Cup, what does that level of rugby look like compared to what you're playing? I mean, are you at this level where you're in a league where you can qualify for something like that, or are you in a completely different world?
No, not anymore, to be honest. I mean, I used to play second division in France, which is pretty high. I'm right now in the fourth or fifth division this year. We are in an ambitious club where we want to really go up, and we are putting all the means into it, but we are not today at that level anymore. But I'm happy to be where I am because I'm actually doing two things at the same time. I'm playing professionally, but I'm also directing one of our companies here, Unicorn Incubator, which is an accelerator, a startup accelerator. So I'm also working up on my future on the other side of the pitch, not just rugby wise.
Which you have to. That's great. I assume, though, even though you won't be playing in this 2023 World Cup, you'll be there. You'll probably be in the middle of everything and experiencing the whole event, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's here. And France, they love rugby, especially in the south. It's pretty divided. If you go to the north of France, there's a lot of soccer fields everywhere. If you go to the south part of France, every little town that you cross by, there's a rugby pitch, there's a rugby team. They're fanatics. It's going to be very interesting, especially if we, the Argentinians, do like we did back in 2007 when the World Cup was also held in France and we played the first game against the French and we won. We played again in the semifinals. We won again, so... if that happens, it'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that just sounds awesome. I'm excited for that to happen, and hopefully you get to have a great experience and keep winning, watching your teams win. Okay, you mentioned the work side of things and a little about the level of your club. So how do you say it? Sarlat?
Yep, Sarlat Rugby.
Sarlat Rugby. Okay, so that's your club. Now we talk about there's a lot of rugby in France and there's a lot of old rugby. So your club is old, but you approach it like more like a startup, which you talk about your business incubator. And that interests me a lot because here in my market in Texas, we have a lot of teams that can relate to something like that. We have a lot of expansion teams. I mean, Austin, Texas just got a soccer club, an MLS soccer club. Mm-hmm. And we have new like regional sports teams, like Aussie Rules Football, a team I work with here, the North Texas Devils. And they face these challenges where they're trying to do a lot of things really quick all at once. Like, first of all, start a team, stand up a team. But the things like growing their audience or just letting people know they're even there, right? And then educating them if it's a new sport coming into the market, and the funding and just supporters showing up and, you know, representing and getting players and all those things. So even though your club is old, you still approach it with some of those same mentalities to grow.
Yeah, I mean, the synergies and the connections that you found, they're pretty interesting. But we do take it as a startup because we believe that it has all of the problems that a startup has, even though the club is 118-year-old. And actually, sometimes we would like to have an empty sheet, a blank sheet, because there wouldn't be so many skeletons in the closet, I would say. Things that you don't know that were so badly managed in the previous years, or maybe for the past 100 years. But luckily, since we took over barely a year ago, a little bit more, we found a way to show that even on a small club, this can be done. We created not just a club, but a brand that people, that the community can identify themselves with, that sponsors can actually get benefit from what we do. For instance, in social media, we went from 1,500 followers, let's say 10 months ago, to 250K today. So we come from the digital marketing space. So this is what we do, and that's why we approach the club in this way. The idea is to create a brand before we create the club, and that's what we did. First and foremost, we changed our logo because it didn't have that image that we wanted to have. Then we changed our name, because the name, again, we are playing rugby. The word rugby was not in the name. we are playing at Salah. The word Salah was not the name either. So that's very hard to market afterwards, right? So we did little changes, gradual changes. And today we are in a position that, for instance, we played a friendly game this weekend. We had around 800 people at the stadium, which is not bad, but we had 80,000 people watching our game live on our own TV channel,
which is SalRugby.tv. Broadcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's something we've developed and that we've been working on. And also, for instance, we've signed contracts with TV station back in the US, in Latin America, in the UK, in Europe, and everywhere in the world. Because we want to bring rugby, we want to bring sports, we want to bring our brand to people, to our community all around the world.
It sounds like you're purposefully, like intentionally growing your audience and your fan base outside of Surlaw, right? Because it's probably small and you have you don't have as much opportunity to just there locally. So with the TV and the streaming and the online store and your sites and everything, you're really expanding your audience digitally. That's how you're doing that. That's smart.
I'm glad that you mentioned it, because that's exactly our model, because there's 10,000 people living in Salah, but we are the seventh most visited town in France with more than 2 million tourists a year. So we are taking that same approach. People are coming here for the town, and why not for rugby? Because some people ask us, why would you focus on people all around the world if you're based in Salah? And our question goes the other way around. It's more like, why not? Why wouldn't I?
It's smart. And it makes sense when you look at the formulas that other sports use. I mean, I'm sitting here in Texas, and in my household, the first thing my husband and son do on the weekends is get up and watch English Premier League soccer. You know, we're sitting here in Texas, and that's one of their, you know, favorite things to do. So you can easily watch a team, support a team from across the world with these digital capabilities. So, yeah.
Of course, it makes sense.
So I'm curious, being from Argentina and now living in France for the past 6 years, when you hear me say Dallas Cowboys, first, do you know who I'm talking about? And second, what do you know about them?
Yeah, I do know who you're talking about. And actually, aren't the Dallas Cowboys known for being the American football team, not just team from Dallas?
Yes, we like to think that. It's been a long time since we used to be at the top, right? We won Super Bowls back to back and we had a good run, but it's been decades since that. And so another team, the Patriots, have sort of taken the leadership role this last decade. And so they like to think they're now called America's team, but us Texas people, we still claim the title because that's sort of our nickname. We've always had that.
And we actually had that because our CEO, he lived in the States for 25 years. So he actually brought up the Dallas Cowboys as one of the examples of becoming a team that's loved by the whole country, by the whole world, because you don't need to be. Again, that's what we intend to do. That's what we've done so far on our club. And that's what we are looking for, targeting people all around the world. We don't want to be the team known just in Salah, but we know we can reach out to people. One of the researches that we've done a couple of years ago was how many people back in America knew rugby. We did it through our TV station. I can't remember which one. And they came back to us and they said, sorry to tell you, but only 12% of the people know the rules of rugby. And we were very thrilled and excited about those statistics because we are focusing on the 88% of the people that are missing.
Yeah, you got a lot of opportunity.
We are bringing rugby to them. Exactly. You need to be able to see opportunity where and not just... It's easy to stick with the 12%, but I'd rather keep the 88%.
Yeah, and teach those people and open the sport up to those, that group. Yeah, you've got a lot of opportunity. But yeah, that's what made me think about it when you talked about building your brand, because that is sort of what the Cowboys are known for, is it's the brand that goes way beyond, you know, 17 games in the fall. It is a worldwide global brand, recognized, you know, all 100%. There's fans all over the place. So that is a good example for your CEO to bring up. And I was just curious, you know, to hear, to see if you've even heard of it. So, yep, it's kind of everywhere. Yep. I live about 2 miles from the world headquarters. It's called the Star. And it's right down the road from us. My husband actually works in the building. He doesn't work really for the Cowboys, but he works in their building. Yeah.
That's amazing.
We live right lovely smack dab in the middle of it. Yes. And we love the Cowboys. We're mostly a soccer family and baseball, but we have all of that around here. We have sports, all of the major sports in our market, right? And like within 5 minutes from us. So it's pretty amazing. That's lucky.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love sports? I mean, any sports.
I know. We love them all. Now we don't have, yeah. I don't even know where I could watch a rugby game like in my city. I know that they have, being living so close to Dallas, there has to be the rugby teams in Dallas.
You mentioned Austin, Texas, didn't you?
Yeah. They're a few hours from us, but yeah.
They do have a very good team.
That doesn't surprise me. Austin is kind of this melting pot of different cultures and different people from around the world. And so that does not surprise me that that's what the city that you would say. And yeah, we make our way down there a few times a year. So I would love to go watch a game, because I caught some on the Olympics this summer and I just couldn't turn away. It's fascinating. Just the speed and the skill and just, I think it's so interesting, but I don't know the rules. Like you said, I can watch it, but I don't know what I'm watching. It's entertaining though.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the most important things. I mean, get excited about the game. Even if you don't know every rule, you can still understand a nice hit, a nice line break, a nice score. I mean, every sport has that in common. And since you're very much into sports and you know them very, very well, you can understand the process at least and what it's all about.
For sure. You can pick up on, you can catch on for sure. Okay, well, thanks for your time, Lucas. This was so fun. I'm going to include it in the show notes, but can you tell our listeners, I don't know, maybe the website, the most common website for the English-speaking website, so people can look you up?
Of course. So it's salarugby.com. That's the easiest way to find us out. You've got everything that you need in there. And don't hesitate to reach out.
And I'm gonna spell it. Is it SARLAT rugby.com?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, yeah. And then following you guys on social. So I will tag that in the episode notes, but I wanted everybody to hear it from you also.
Sounds good.
It was really nice talking to you. I love that I'm not in the studio right now. I'm just Zooming. And so I can Zoom from Frisco to France and share your story and your info. I love it.
Of course. And thank you. It was a pleasure to be at your show. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
And a special thanks to you, listeners. If you have liked this episode of Hustle & Pro, please share it with your friends. Share us on social media and make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts so that you can get a notification for our next episode.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.